This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan hotline anytime you'd like. That's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And the fan hotline is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. We welcome in at this time, as we love to talk to, from AT&T Sportsnet, former Major League Baseball catcher Michael McHenry. Michael, good morning. How's everything?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're good. Right. We're good. We're out here at our fired golf up. Tournament. Yes, we're pretty fired up, but we are talking lots of baseball this morning. Okay, so after the game last night, Chad Kuhl, who didn't have a good outing, went on to say that he could have been tipping pitches. I want to get inside your brain right now. As a catcher, can you pick up on stuff like that? And if you do during the course of a game, how can that be rectified during a game? Or is that something you have to work on in the days between starts?
It's something you have to be prepared to change and fix within a game, especially with all the technology now. You have cameras at almost every angle, so if your glove is open or your hand is open to second base, the runner on second base, obviously he can see, but they can also see from the center field cameras. A catcher can tip pitches, so you have to look at a lot of different things, try to figure out, okay, what's going on, why is this happening, am I holding my breath on my fastball, do I have my mouth open on my breaking ball, is my wrist up, is my wrist down. You have to look and try to figure out if that's really what happened. Last night, I thought he was just off. He looked really off kilter. He had two start days in a row, which is very odd for someone. He got up, he got going the night before. He looked like he was trying to do too much last night, maybe due to throwing too much the day before. I don't know his routine. A lot of guys have a different routine. A.J. Burnett would not even throw the day before his start, so he may have just gotten off kilter and just been off yesterday, but he could have been tipping pitches. It's going to be something I'll look at when I get to the studio today, because that's one of my favorite things to do. You know, when Vasquez said he was tipping pitches, I went and found out exactly what he's doing, just because I love it. I love figuring out that stuff and doing those things, because that's the fun of baseball.
Michael, hi. Okay, so when you're as a catcher, you need to figure out when your own pitcher's doing that. Have you ever successfully pulled off figuring out when an opposing pitcher is tipping pitches, and typically how long would it take you to figure that out?
Coming up through the minor leagues, it would take a little while, but the more you played people, it'd be pretty easy. Just about every pitcher tips. Daniel Murphy played with Delgado with the Mets back in the day, and he'd always have a rough first half and then just go ballistic in the second half. The reason that would happen is because he would figure out everyone's tip, so he'd almost know what's coming. I was not a player that was very good at sitting on pitches. Some guys are really good at it, but I was really good at figuring out what guys were doing and relaying them. I used to do it a lot throughout my career. But, yeah, it usually doesn't take very long, especially now with technology. I mean, most places you go, even visiting ballparks, have a TV within 25, 30 feet of the dugout. So I can run downstairs, figure out the sequence of the signs that the catcher is using pretty fast. If I can't do it like that, I can usually figure it out by either glove movement, the way that they take a deep breath before a fastball, or sometimes it's just, you know, the stress they put on their brain, or they come set faster with a fastball because they're not throwing strikes with it. Just the more you know about the person, the easier it is to figure out what they're doing in a tip.
All right, follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. It's just fascinating stuff for me. It really is, yeah, to know the inner workings of someone's brain, or at least try to get in there. Okay, let's look at the Pirates' starting rotation right now, Michael. Is the problem, so to speak, that the Pirates have too many 4 and 5 guys and nobody's risen up to be that number one guy?
I don't know if that's the problem or if a lot of these guys just haven't hit their full potential yet. And they have a lot of guys that are very similar. You know, the Pirates have a very strong theory on the sinker. And a lot of the teams right now are in love with spin rate, pitching up in the zone, at the very top of the zone, because you get more swing and misses, you get more soft contact from a four-seamer with a lot of spin. You have a lot of guys with electric stuff on the Pirates. So I think a lot of these guys are starting to do some different things. They're utilizing their sinker, which is always a great pitch, but they're also using the top of the zone. You see some sliders, slash cutters coming out. Sometimes I think it gets a little short with some of these guys, like Tyon Glasspart. Every slider, slash cutter, so I guess it'd be a slutter, wasn't moving that much. It was more of a cutter, and he got hurt on it. It was the first time. Chad Kuhl yesterday, his breaking ball was turning into more or less a glorified slider because he's kind of overthrowing it, getting on the side of it. So I think as these guys refine their pitches, figure out what they need to do, I think they have a lot of guys that could be twos and threes. Jameson Taillon, there's no reason he should be a one. Got those 97, has a swing and miss fastball with a sinker and a four-seamer, which isn't very common. I mean, he's special.
Michael, what's the mentality like when you're in the Pirates situation? Most games are pretty close. Every at-bat means a lot, and yet all of a sudden last night you come to bat in the bottom of the third inning. It's 8-0, and it looks like things are – obviously you don't give up, but what's the general demeanor of the dugout? What's the approach like when a team falls behind so much so early?
There's two things. Is you always play to the last out, and you always play for yourself at the same time. So you play for the team in the last out to try to win that ball game, and you never take it back for granted because at the end of the day, there's 29 other teams, and even those guys coming in late, you know, I played off the bench most of my career, so you can't take it back for granted. You can't go out there and, oh, yeah, I'm just going to pump heaters down the middle if I'm on the other team up 8-0, because that's your ERA. You know, you go up 2 or 3 runs that day, and so you had good stuff just because your team's ahead. So worst thing you could do, you go out there, do the exact same thing you do if there's a 1-1 game in the bottom of the ninth. You try to focus on the situation at hand and not the overall scoreboard, because if you start thinking about those things, you start trying to press, you try to do too much, or you just be like, oh, I'm getting a glorified at-bat right here, or, oh, yeah, I'm getting eat-me-up innings instead of, you know, in a good situation. And I thought the bullpen last night did a great job with that. I thought the guys coming off the bench, the Pirates, did a great job with that. Chad Kuhl just wasn't good.
Michael, there was a big story by Bob Nightingale, who in my travels has been a wonderful writer and a guy that really does great reporting in USA Today yesterday, about the pace of play, about how baseball's doing this and going through kind of a tough time. And the one stat that jumped out at me, Mike, was 34% of at-bats end in a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. Is that too much? Does something need to change, or is that just where the game is right now?
I think it's a stage. It seems like eventually people start punching back. You know, you see the Pirates, they've got to be one of the best in the leagues at drawing out at-bats, not striking out, creating walks. I mean, I've been crazily impressed with Colin Moran's at-bats, Austin Meadows' at-bats, really constantly have good at-bats. There's guys like that around the league, but there's also a lot of guys that, you know, are going to drop 40 homers this year, maybe even 50. So with homers come strikeouts a lot of times because you got big swings, but I think the league will adjust. I think the guys right now on the mound are kind of super Nintendo-ish, so to speak. You have guys throwing 97-mile-an-hour cutters. You have breaking balls going 4 feet and just dropping off the table. It's just a new era, but there will be an adjustment period. And then once that's over, I think there'll be a lot more – it'll get a lot more evened out.
Michael, I'm not sure. I know you spend a lot of time focusing on the Pirates, obviously. I don't know how much other – Major League Baseball you get to watch. I wanted to ask you about Mike Trout, however. The season that he's having, I don't know, maybe if it goes unnoticed around here in Pittsburgh, but what do you make of the season that he's having right now?
I mean, he's a Super Nintendo player. I mean, the guy is not real. I mean, I read a stat yesterday that says if he stays on pace, which, I mean, obviously right now he's just, he's on a different planet. It must be the juice that he's drinking out of. But at the end of the day, this guy is, we're witnessing one of the best players of all time do some of the most special things you could ever see. So if you're not keeping up with Mike Trout, you're listening right now, you need to go watch this guy, because he's a once in a generation type player. He's potentially the Michael Jordan of baseball. He's really, really, really special. He has a chance to pass the article I read. He has a chance to pass Derek Jeter in WAR, which is wins over replacement, in the next 2 years. This kid's only 26 years old. I mean, it's incredible.
Michael McHenry joining us a couple more minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Can you take me inside a little bit to the mask that Francisco Cervelli was wearing last night, and if you think it can have an impact on concussions and kind of the technology involved therein? Do you know much about it?
I hate it, to be honest with you. And the reason I say that is because I think anything heavy on your head creates more movement of your head. So the shift of when you get hit with a foul ball, it's not a foul ball necessarily that gives you the concussion. It's the jarring of your head. So with putting something heavy on your head, kind of counter, I don't understand the concept of what it is. It looks like he was, it's like a space helmet. I don't know enough about it, but I do know that I've talked to a bunch of people that are experts, and they talk about the two-piece mask actually gives you a chance to deflect a lot more. You don't absorb it because it's not connected to your head. The mask actually moves. So the velocity of the ball off a foul tip or anything else kind of shifts off away from your head. And anything that's disconnected from your head, if you think about a soldier or a construction worker, they wear those hats that are actually off your head. You know, they put them on and they tighten them up, and they're actually off your head. And there's a reason for that, so it doesn't shift your brain like that. And LaCroix, one of my friends, he told me that he went to a concussion specialist. The guy actually said, strengthen your neck, and it'll save your career with concussions, because if you have a strong neck, your head's not going to shift as hard, and you're not going to jar your brain.
There you go. Michael McHenry knows a ton about of a lot of things. Mike, we thank you so very much. We'll catch up again. No, that was fascinating. Yeah. It really was. Thank you so very much. We'll catch up again next week. We appreciate it, and enjoy the week of Pirate Baseball.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. God bless.
As always,
all right, thanks, Michael. Michael.
That stuff about tipping pitches and then that stuff, it makes sense about the two-piece mask, because that is, you know, the kind of a shock absorber whenever you catch one of those foul balls. And the goalies say the same thing in hockey. Really, really good stuff, as always, to go inside with Michael McHenry. All right, the time is here. Coming up in just a couple minutes, our Porch Tour winner, the winner of the first Porch Tour stop. That's in a week from now. You hear that coming up in just a few minutes here, and then we get back into a little Pirate Baseball talk. We talk about the Penguins schedule, and then we're out of here. We got to tee off at 10 o'clock, Jim.
We're not going to warm up. What's going on?
I find my team. I know that.
Oh, yes.
My boys.
I found your team, too.
Shendorovich and Shendorovich. Jim, you're with the Greensburg Beverage guys.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, the winner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.